Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Thankful for a letter written to your church that needed a letter. What a great concept that your Holy Spirit would meet the needs and that your Holy Spirit does have answers. And we ask today that as we listen to your Holy Spirit, that we would be revived and the word and then the instructions of what the Holy Spirit does in the church and then for your church, that we would be a people who are single-hearted and minded towards what your word says and who your Holy Spirit is. Lord, we just take heed unto what we heard last week, that a double-minded, a double-life Christian does not get their prayers answered from you and is unstable and doesn't receive anything from you. But here we are, Lord, your people, and we believe your word, and we believe that your Spirit does give these gifts to your church because you wrote it down and sent a letter to your church that you give gifts to the church. So we believe it that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, we can outthink ourselves pretty easily, can't we? We pick up this letter written to the Corinthians, chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now I remind you, as we began this study last week, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church. This is the Holy Spirit in His church this way. And how do I see the Holy Spirit? Well, verse 7 tells me, I see the Holy Spirit in the gifts that He has given to each and every one of His church. The manifestation, it's rooted into the Greek word. You track back, and the root word is light. Now, you make a choice today. You're either in light or you're in the dark, right? This really comes down to this. As you walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, right, cleanses you from all sin. Okay? It's not saying you weren't darkness before. In fact, that's why we come to the light, because we were darkness. And as you make that decision, I'm a child of the light. And being a child of the light, then that means that to have fellowship with one another. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your life will, again, manifest the fruit. It'll produce. I don't want to use the word manifest, because we'll use that with the gifts. And produce, right? You go to the section in the store, and you go to the produce section, you get fruit, okay? So your life will produce the love, joy, and the peace, the long-suffering, the kindness, goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. See, we have decided here that it's the Holy Spirit in His church. Jesus is the head. That's chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He's the head. This is His church. Now, put your finger there in 1 Corinthians 12 and find your way to Ephesians chapter 5. Just a few books over to the right. And as I'm talking with you today, I'm talking to each and every one of you. Okay? Don't think of this as a sermon for the church as a whole, and I wish the church would just catch this stuff. Like the church somewhere out there is this nameless, faceless, you know, sort of organization that I just don't like the church anymore. The church is people, individual members, right, of one body of Christ. And that these members individually will cover more of this. Jesus is the head. And that means I'm talking to each and every one of us individually. And in fact, as I would bring that letter up this way, that's the way Paul is describing unto them. And Ephesians chapter 5, at that place of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that part so well? Okay? You think of Ephesians 5, and I say filled with the Spirit. Do you know where to go? So you look at 5:17. This is what God has done with us here. And why I describe it in that way, here's where He begins. He says in calling them out of light, and to walk in the dark, and to walk circumspectly. That's my lead-in today, okay? Because the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the church comes through the gifts of the Spirit, and we must discern, right? We must know what the Spirit of God says to us, and we must see. So if you think about the context of this, it begins really after the call of not walking in darkness. We're Christians. We follow Christ. Christ has risen from the dead. Christ has given you light. See, then, that you walk circumspectly. You can't live like an unbeliever anymore. And as you walk in the light, and I invite you to decide with the Holy Spirit. There's a wonderful thing that begins in this, in verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, some versions say they're not to be fools. When you partake of and follow and source and supply your wisdom from this world, whether it would be earthly, sensual, devilish, again, the regards to whether it's of this earth or whether it's of the soulish, the natural life of man, and or even of the demonic nature that the spirit who influences this world, and you're sourcing and supplying, that's foolishness. For you as a believer to follow that which is of this earth. And so as this is instructed, he says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There should not be a one of us here now today, again, where we've been at as a church coming through this is your church, and you've been listening to what the Spirit has been saying. There should not be a single one of you here today double-minded. Let me illustrate to you. When the Holy Spirit says you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit, are you double-minded about that? Okay. And why I bring this up, you only have one decision to make. Whose voice is it? As we read the scriptures, and this is the instruction Paul gives to the Ephesian church, he says, understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Or again, as a little help English on that word excess, another version says dissipation. Okay. Now people do drink wine, or again, alcohol, because of the influence that it gives them, but it always dissipates. The instruction in 18 to us as believers, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, don't read it differently than the grammar, where you say, well, I was filled with the Spirit when I was younger. It literally reads that we are to be being filled. I met a young man, again, recently, not in this congregation, but just started to ask, as he's looking at his life, say, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And it really started to explain the scriptures to him, and he wasn't interested because he was elevating his experience and what he had seen and how he had seen others practice elsewhere. And just said to him, the warning is again, and we received the same warning here. We were called last week to drop all of our ideas of what we thought the Holy Spirit would be doing based off of what others have said. Okay, I am very aware that some have stated that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased, specifically getting on to the supernatural gifts of miracles and healings. We're going to cover healings today in description, but I remind you here in Ephesians 5:15, you are to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds like worship this morning. And you do understand the application. I was like, when I described for me full contact worship, I was like, this is everything I can give and pour out to the Lord in worship. That happens. Everything. When you read this, and giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, if that's lacking, that submitting to one another in the fear of God, and you're like, you're holding, like, well, that's not God, or I don't know if it's God, or is that the Holy Spirit? And if one who has a gift of the Holy Spirit is even telling you, this is the Holy Spirit saying this to you. See, because that's where we're going to go today in 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit, again, one to another, and we're to recognize who the Holy Spirit is in the church and what he gives and what he does, and we're to discern, and then with each other, we're to minister that manifold grace of God one to another. And so that all of us can see that this is the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. And why I describe it to us in this way is that submitting to one another in the fear of God becomes very important. Because you could find yourself resisting the Holy Spirit. You could find yourself resisting God's Holy Spirit and what he would want you to do, or what he would want to give you, or even that which he would want to say to you. Okay? Now, before you get too carried away on, like, well, what if it's not God? Okay? That's in place as well. You're to judge what's being said and discern and see and know, is that God? But if God, the Holy Spirit, is directing you and you're saying, that's not God, you're in trouble spiritually. And we have the Word of God, and we test the spirits by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never go against the Scripture. Very important that you are able to test and have this, because what I'm going to call us to today is full on receiving and believing, since we're no longer double-minded. And I pray that you individually have been revived by the Holy Spirit, and all of the Scriptures are just that, Scripture, for you. So that when you're reading in the Scriptures and it's instructed to you, and you can read and then understanding that God's will for your life. I'll read it to you this way, okay? If you hear this, it is God's will for you to be Spirit-filled, out of Ephesians chapter 5. Okay? Now, how did that happen for the church in the Bible? Okay, I made the turn in my Bible. I'm just about wrapping up for the second time this year through the Old Testament, and I think New Testament's two or three times through, but I made my turn through Revelation, and I go back to Acts because I'm always in the Gospels. And I encourage you, that this is my way of saying to you what I've learned and discovered in these last 3 or 4 years, words of Jesus every day for me. That's what I want. I want to hear the words of my Lord, right, every single day. Because when I would read through the New Testament, I would been like, say, if I'm 6 months when I'm not back in the Gospels, or even 3 months, I'm like, I miss what the Lord has said. That doesn't happen for me anymore. I remember what the Lord said to me today. I remember what he said yesterday. And when I describe it to us this way is, as I made that turn, I came back to Acts. So out of Revelation, I come back to Acts. And I took him at his word. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So my answer to him, yes. Okay? And this is where I'm pleading with all of us at this point. Okay? The Holy Spirit, right? Living and powerful Word of God. This is his church. Jesus' church. Right? And he has things he says to us. It's God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be the witness unto Jesus, because not only does he manifest the gifts of the Spirit in the body so we would know this is the Holy Spirit, we'll get onto that in just a bit, he also wants to manifest that this life that is in you is the life of the Son of God in you, and that it's Jesus Christ in you, and that you're Spirit-led, and the likeness of Jesus Christ, his teachings, again, and I'll add here, his works are in you. Okay? And he desires to manifest that life. Now, what's in the way for every Christian? The self-life. That's why the instructions were deny self, take up your cross, follow Jesus. And so this phrase of those that belong to Jesus Christ have crucified their flesh with its lusts and desires. Because you, now that you're born of him, you can't live after your old nature. You must put that old nature to death and live after the new life, which is created in righteousness and holiness. Yes, each and every one of you. And think about that. Like, me, yes, me, you, yes, you. Now, he gives these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And listening to this and needs to be said. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts. Okay, this is the first place of the mention of gifts. It's not in verse 1. This is the Holy Spirit. He's this way in the church. How do you know the Holy Spirit's in the church? Because he gives gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are ministries and there's the supernatural working of God. Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. All in 1 Corinthians 12. It's his church. That's straightforward to us. Now, as you would listen closely today, the diversities of gifts, And that study of that word diversity is, again, it's a dividing. But if you can think about this, this is the church that belongs to Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus Christ distributes to each and every member of the body of Christ the gifts that he individually and wills and divides them out to you. If we talk in terms of money, okay, I'll just illustrate what it's not. Okay, so I like this. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit and what is true and genuine and the true riches and gifts that he gives to the church, and we'll get to that in a bit. But before we can get there, if you would say that the Holy Spirit has $500,000 to distribute to Calvary Chapel Fargo, again, would you all of a sudden want to say, I am a part of that fellowship? That's my church. I maybe don't come every week, but that's my church. See, in a carnal sense, this works in our understanding. And then if you thought that the Holy Spirit would take that $500,000 and he would number each and every one of us, and then he would distribute that money equally to every part of the body of Christ here, you would be completely mistaken what this word diversities of gifts means. And I'll just say it. God's concept of distribution is different than our concept of fairness. So stop raising your children after fairness. Well, I give it to this kid, then I can't do it to that kid. And that's not Spirit-led. Right? Likewise, in the church, the Holy Spirit looks upon all of our lives and he distributes different gifts with different amounts. And sometimes the tendency can be, you say, well, I didn't get all the gifts that so-and-so got. Well, maybe you're not called and doing all the ministry they're doing. Plain and simple. Why would God give you 12 of the gifts, 12 of the 30 gifts, if you're going to sit at home and play video games? Well, I'm the most talented player of such and such video game, and I chat with people online. No, you don't. Okay. This is his church. He knows what he's doing. And why I say it in that way, so let's listen to this diversity. So it's God looking at each and every one of our lives, and this is his church and his body, and he's knit us together in love. We're all baptized into one Spirit. We're all members of one another. We'll cover that in the next few weeks. And even as I think of this letter that is written, again, just glance down at verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members. The body is one and has many members. How do you take so many members and make them one? Well, you distribute what each and every one of them needs to give the other. So if it were then a better example, again, in likeness, and now I won't use money because that's a carnal thing, that's of this world. View this way, that God has given to you that which you are to distribute for the profit of everybody else in the body of Christ. And he gave it to you, and then he entrusted to you that you're to give that gift in the way that the Spirit wants you to give that. What is the way that the Spirit operates in? What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? In love. And as you minister those gifts of the Holy Spirit in love one to another, don't ever say, I just don't know what to give or do. Do you know why you're saying that? Because your relationship with the Holy Spirit, right, is quenched, or the way, again, you're quenching the Holy Spirit, or you're, what's the other word, grieving the Holy Spirit by the thing, I want to live for myself. Now, what I'm reading in this, the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And see this now for what it is. The gifts of the Spirit, there's diversities. So the Holy Spirit looks upon every single one of you. If you want to see it today, to help your understanding, see your life as a vessel. Okay? A vessel with varying capacities. Your capacity for the gifts of the Spirit and to distribute, he might impart to you at first a communion cup size of blessing of gifts of the Spirit, desiring that you would receive that and then you would minister that size of blessing through the gifts of the Spirit to one another. Or maybe, again, by reason of use, you've been a vessel where he's been pouring in and you've been pouring out, pouring in, pouring out. He says, let's step you up to a 55-gallon drum. Let's really pour into you. Now, what am I illustrating for us today? diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit of God and all the fullness and everything He's given you to give out to others, and your capacity might be you know, size of a coffee cup. That's why we use big coffee cups here. You know, capacity. But you also understand this. God's also very interested in the concept of overflow. In the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the overflow of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, fill up my vessel to overflowing and let this flow out to others. Because this is His church. This is not an organization. Could you? I don't even know what organization would exist in this world that would get this group together at one time. And it's not just this group, it's every church. Every representation of the local expression of the body of Christ has with it that God knows. If you're understanding this and you say, I'm here because I've been placed here by God, and I know that, and I know that I'm here and I'm my relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is a spiritual body. And if you come and just think this is a place you attend, you probably won't make it. Or if you're sitting there deciding, well, I'll decide later on what's the Holy Spirit, you're already gone. You're already gone in your heart. Because I don't know another way to describe this to you. What I know what is happening now and how we've been revived and how the Holy Spirit's talking to us and the gifts of the Spirit and how He's teaching us and what I'm pleading with all of you, if you're already like, well, I just don't know if that's my church or if that, so then you're already gone. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, right? But what I'm getting at is it's not so that you would go, but that so you would do what? You would actually listen and consider, I'm here. God put me here. It's His church. I'm saved by Jesus Christ, and this is His church. And then just these two key words, I am. Well, I guess that's three words. I'll start with the two words. I belong. Okay? And then three words. I am one. Okay? With His church. Once you decide that, and again, if that's your decision, and you've never told me that, just tell me that. Right? Just say something like, this is my church. I'm here. I'll listen to the Holy Spirit. Right? Why I say it in this way is because this is the way 1 Corinthians 12 reads, and if you think that you have been shortchanged by God and you didn't get all the spiritual gifts you wanted to get, well then, the Bible says to earnestly covet the best gifts, and you think He hasn't given you the gifts you wanted yet, well then just hang on, right? Stay. Use the gift you have been given, but this phrase, diversities of gifts, just, you, if you want, you can write down fairness in your margin, and then scratch it out. So whenever you're tempted to say to God, that's not fair. So don't raise, right? Don't teach fairness. Okay? Because it might be that if I had $500,000, what if it went to all one person? Okay, now I'll twist it with, you know, say how God distributes, right? But what is it that you have something and you pick a gift for this person, they're to have more. And this person over here, they're to get nothing. Ooh. Okay. So this word to us, verse 7. And this is a study of the gifts over the next 2 weeks. And then I get to talk to you about the whole letter because then I'm just somewhere in chapter 12 and you can keep reading chapter 12. But I invite you this. You say, this is my church, right? Again, this is the body of Christ I'm one with. You have to decide if I'm the pastor of the church or not. Okay? Pretty easy to decide, right? And meaning that God has placed me in this place for this, for you. And even just as I would say, submitting to one another in the fear of God, you have to decide if I'm submitted unto God. Very important, right? Yet if Jesus is the head, then you better make sure the pastor's submitted unto the head. Because no one can wreck the church faster than the pastor. And so very important that you would hear the Holy Spirit, and then what I would instruct, or even if these things now again one with another, submitting to one another in the fear of God, and it's God's will for us to be Spirit-filled, and He desires now for the church to build up and edify one another in the love of the gifts of the Spirit that He gives to you, I'm just trying to stir up in you this wonderful phrase that I prayed this morning. God, we need your gifts. We need the spiritual gifts. This is a spiritual body. We're one with each other. We need these gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to know, right? We need to see and hear what the Spirit shows us and says to us. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay. Now I've introduced this, and now I'll come back for the fruit of your hearing in your life. Every one of you should be able to clearly before God say, I have seen that your Holy Spirit is in this body of believers, and I understand that the gifts of the Spirit are here, and I have been profited by the gifts that the others in church have shared with me. Does that return fruit? I can't think of a single one of you in here who could say no to that. Now, you might say no because you would rather love self than love Jesus Christ. And that's where he goes, because what did he say? No one can follow me unless he hates his own life. So, children of light or children of the darkness, what are you hiding and covering up? I think that should be the call. Said, I'm in the light. I might be the worst person in church, or you might take the approach, I just have to be one better than the worst so I don't get so much attention. But which part of your body doesn't belong in your body? Think that one through a bit. Even if you have a bad toe, is it still part of the body? Right? If I start talking about organs, I'm going to probably get some of you like, well, I'd like to have a better organ. He uses this understanding to get our attention, and I think he's got our attention. We need to look at a few of these gifts, and why I started with wisdom today is because look where the gifts start in verse 8. So it's the Holy Spirit in the way that he distributes this to every man to profit all. He starts here, for to one, okay, is given the Spirit, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So this is the spiritual gift of word of wisdom. Sometimes we shortcut it and say the gift of spiritual wisdom. But understand that this here has three of them that are actually given that speak to us. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of prophecy. Meaning that the Holy Spirit, in giving these gifts, and you notice it's not into fairness. This is not a debate. This is not anybody got an idea that you want to share with the group? That's not that. It's not that fairness. It means that when it comes down to this, do not be fools, but be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. This will become very valuable in this gift that is given to one. And really, if you think about us being one body, if we're always all together, we only need one person with the word of wisdom, that the Holy Spirit would speak to them, we'd all receive that. Oh, now we know what to do. It's the application of the knowledge of God in the wisdom of what we are to do to follow what the Holy Spirit is saying. Now, in that basic understanding of wisdom, Solomon didn't have it till he asked for it from God. Okay? And after he had the wisdom of God to rule God's people, he still did what in the end of his life? He still followed and fell into idolatry because of his love for many foreign women. So wisdom does not what? Keep and protect you if you don't apply the wisdom of God for your own life. So what I learned from Solomon. I like the comparisons in the New Testament of Solomon. You think a guy with that much wisdom would get referenced in a better light? Says that the flowers dress better than Solomon did. That God would adorn with beauty in his creation better than the riches of this world could adorn. Now, why describe it to us in this way? As he begins here with the word of wisdom. And to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So when we are receiving this gift, the word of wisdom, I think of it in my mind Acts chapter 15. If I say Acts 15, that's the chapter where they were fighting over. Yes, the church was fighting over. How do you be saved? Do you need to become, does a Gentile need to become Jewish in order to get saved? Some were saying they do. They got to keep the law of Moses to be saved. Paul and Barnabas were saying, or Paul and, was it Barnabas? Silas. Paul and Barnabas. Paul was saying, together with others, that it was saved by grace through faith alone. Right? So you don't need to become Jewish. Gentiles believe and are saved by Jesus Christ as they believe the gospel. Now, why I say it in that way, and again, along they come, like they're hearing the case out. Some are saying, no, it's this way. Others are saying, no, this way. And then they give testimony. They actually give testimony of what God has done. Then Peter says how he went to Cornelius' house and the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles and God gave them the same Holy Spirit in the same way that he gave the Jews. He gave that to the Gentiles in the beginning and Gentiles are saved. And the Holy Spirit's already answered this. And then a word of wisdom comes to James, who wrote the book of James, and he stands up and gives the word of wisdom and he says, we're not going to put a burden upon the Gentiles that they got to keep the law. Our fathers couldn't keep the law. We couldn't keep the law. We're saved through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the and the word of wisdom was, we're not going to put on them a burden. They are saved. And that's a word of wisdom given to the church. And that word of wisdom given to James answered it. And everybody agreed together and says, and he says, you can see that the Holy Spirit has already saved the Gentiles by faith when Peter gave witness and testimony of what happened there. You've heard the testimony of what God is doing through the, what Paul and Barnabas are talking about, Paul and others are talking about. And the word of wisdom says, we're not going to change this. Right? We're going to trust that God saves Gentiles through his gospel as Paul has declared to us. And what he's seeing when he preaches the gospel, those that believe and receive are born again. And then his testimony is they're water baptized. And then get this. When Paul would come and lay hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit, they did. This is an interesting thing. Are you fighting against God today? I'm not fighting. I'm with him. I'm fighting on his side. Right? I'm all for whatever I'm reading in the scriptures, what he did. And so these gifts of the Spirit to the every man, word of wisdom. And don't think of it after a natural sense that person, well, because here's the world's chasing this thing down, and this is where I give warning. The world is hungry to trust and know that there is an expert in every field of study. What do the experts say about that? Do you know that that's not the approach that we take to the wisdom? Do you realize the word of wisdom could be given to the least likely candidate in church? And you're like, I know when the wisdom comes forth from that person in the body of Christ, that's got to be the Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with that. Because not many wise, mighty, or noble after the flesh are called. But when we agree together, like, that's the Holy Spirit, and now we know what to do. Now, we had a word of, I would say, wisdom granted unto us. When the world was shutting down for COVID, right? And we had a word of wisdom, I would say, that morning. It came together. We had a word of knowledge, so we had a word of prophecy, and then mixed together with a word of wisdom right here on Sunday morning prayer. The verses that Jesus said, get into the boat, we're going to the other side, and the storm arose. Okay? And then the question when Jesus comes to them and they wake him up and shake him awake and his first words to them, where's your faith? Or he could say, are we at the other side yet? Because I said we're going to the other side. Now again, that's the way I read the scriptures, that if Jesus says you're going to the other side, what does that mean? We're going to the other side. Did he say anything about the storm in between? See, and this is where we err. Like the apostles, we don't place our faith because we think that life should be easy, and if God says this is going to go on, we think it should be the straight path, easy, lazy boy living, right to heaven, I'm going to get there on a pair of skates. Wait, there's a song about that. You can't get to heaven on a pair of skates. What am I illustrating for us? Word of wisdom. And with those verses, the word of wisdom went like this, right? We're going to treat this like a storm policy. And a word of wisdom was given in that time of prayer, and the word of wisdom goes like this. Our storm policy is you have to know for yourself if you can get to church and be there and be a part of this. But the storm policy reads like this. I will be here. And I'll be teaching the Bible, we'll be worshiping and serving God, and we're going to continue. And then also then I encouraged you that I respect you way too much to make decisions for you in your life. Said, you have the Holy Spirit. We just were given a word of prophecy, again, which I believe is we were asking specifically what to do. So that, again, I think that's a word of knowledge. Like this verse answers what we were asking for. Do you realize that God answers with his word? And then through gift of word of wisdom, he said to us, this is a storm policy. So we just invoked our storm policy. And every one of you had to decide. When it's a blizzard outside, we don't cancel church. I remember one time I think there was so much snow, and I was praising God for a four-wheel drive so I didn't have to shovel everything out. But then others would come and they got stuck. I said, do you have time to get us? I'll come get you. Okay. But we had church service here. And gifts of the Holy Spirit are in operation all the time here. In that word of wisdom, we knew what to do. And I'll just say this to you. And our faith is in God. So where's our faith? Our faith is in Jesus Christ. He said to us, I'll get you through the storm. Does it matter? After he says that, does it matter what that storm is necessarily? That's word of wisdom. I am glad that we in this congregation listen to the Holy Spirit. I listen to other people like, what voices were you listening to? I could tell right away those that started to listen to the wisdom of the world because it kind of went like this. You shouldn't be together. You should save your life. You might die. Stay home. Man, did the church suffer. Now, I'm not on this side condemning anyone else. I'm just talking to us here. Because if you're deciding this is your church body, right, and you're deciding that you're a part of all this, okay, there is no $500,000 to distribute. But there's so much more to distribute here. So when that word of wisdom came for the church, the whole church had it. And I think it blessed and profited every single person. You hear that? Now, at various places in understanding here, this word of knowledge, again, so if you think of word of wisdom as knowing what to do in a situation, the way this is written, notice in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Notice where God starts. He starts with wisdom. Again, in the Spirit, wisdom and understanding are always coupled together. Isaiah 11:2. So wisdom and understanding all throughout the Proverbs. How do I get many of the words of wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives me? As I'm reading the word, the Holy Spirit talks to me and says it applies in this situation. Or there's times when someone's talking to me, Pastor, what do I do? I don't know, let's pray. Or sometimes people come up to me for prayer, and as I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit just starts giving me what they need to do. Conference down in Arizona one year, and this lady comes up and is asking for prayer for something awesome. As we started praying, I prayed about two sentences in, and all of a sudden I just stopped praying and I started giving her a word of wisdom. This is what you need to do. This is what's going on with this. This is what's happening. And I don't know her. Now, word of knowledge is so valuable to the church. To one, another, the word of knowledge. So when you're listening to this, given means given. So it's not like you can make God give you something. We can earnestly desire the best gifts and ask for them. But as he distributes, some of you might be like, I just wish I had the word of wisdom. Then people would be coming to me. Just answer that right now in your heart with Romans 12:3. Not to think of yourself. So if he would distribute to you that word of wisdom, and you have people coming to you, and I've seen this in action. I've seen parts of the body of Christ say, I've got answers for everybody. I can see into their hearts. No, you can't. You liar. Right? Now, why I say that is because I have the scriptures that says no man can know what's in the spirit of man, in man except the spirit that's in that man. But now, knowledge and fear of the Lord are coupled together, and I'm going to put some fear of the Lord into you. Through the gift of word of knowledge, you can be exposed. The secrets of your heart can be made known. Talk about knowledge and fear of the Lord very necessary in the body of Christ. If you knew that God could let another one around you in the same body, which profits the entire body, and could expose whatever hidden thing was there. See, that word of knowledge, again, just the knowledge of what's going on. Now, it also works in a very good way. So I want to put, first of all, the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, because this helps me out. Do you know what helps me out if I ever think I'm going to go do a secret hidden sin? Well, I have family members who have words of knowledge. So am I going to say to them, oh, I wasn't doing that? Then I have to lie to the Holy Spirit. See, if the Holy Spirit's compelling you, and you think of what this really is here in this body of believers, and you're telling the Holy Spirit no, it's very important. So I'm like, I'm not going to hide this, so I'm not going to do it. If I know that anything that I'm dwelling on can be exposed, knowledge, fear of the Lord kind of stuff. Now, if you're sitting by, well, I haven't been found out yet. How do you know you haven't been found out yet? Because here's what I know. Many with the word of knowledge are like, I'm praying for you. Just listen carefully sometimes how they say, I'm really praying for you. So I'm just going to let you know, right? This is what happens. But now in the good sense, we have a sister here in church who has word of knowledge and has received, again, think of how it's an interesting thing. She has had a word of knowledge of a human body part in a physical human body that, again, prayed for in word of knowledge how you function and fit in and the place in this membership of one body of Christ. That comes by word of knowledge. And then you receive, like, oh, now I know I have a function, because this does a function in the human body, and now you just keep praying, and then, oh, I'm to serve in this way, or I'm to serve together with the others. And that's a word of knowledge, a great profit to this body of believers. So much so that when some have come in here at first and they get body parts, like, what is this? Who does stuff like this? I'm saying, welcome to a Spirit-filled church where we have words of knowledge. I said, it's for your understanding that you would know how you are to be in this body of Christ for the other parts of the body. So I operate, again, in the gifts, calling, again, word of knowledge of that body part for me. I simply receive that in the Holy Spirit and say, I want to function that way for everybody else. A great use of word of knowledge. So, word of knowledge can find you out, but a word of knowledge can also give you that which you really, truly would be able to bless others. Now, I'm going to say this again to you. All right? We are in revival. This began in January of 2024. The church is revived. And if you individually aren't reviving, that's a very serious problem for you. And the answer was given last week to no longer be double-minded. Even when you say, well, I'm not sure when revival, or that's not revival, that is revival, or I don't know if it's God's will for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know that the Holy Spirit gave that today in teaching, and again, looking at Ephesians 5 and looking at these gifts. And I know that it was said, but I'm not sure that was God. That's double-mindedness. Let not that man suppose he shall receive anything from the Lord. Now, where does this put us? Well, right where I want to start in verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, the gift of faith. And at some point, this becomes a valuable gift. We're not talking like the faith that each and every one of you is given to believe and receive Jesus Christ. We're talking faith that believes that which nobody else can see or believe. And you say, I believe God said this to us in this way. I believe God's going to make this happen. Now, I'm carrying one of this for us as a congregation. Okay? Meaning this, I believe by gift of faith that the mosque next door is going to invite us to tell them all about the Son of God. Okay? Gift of faith. I believe that's going to happen. Now, some of you are sitting there and saying, oh, that'll never happen. Okay? But then one with the gift of faith by the Holy Spirit is saying unto you what? It's going to happen. Now, how about trying a biblical one on for size? You can't walk on water. Of biblical proportions. I believe Peter has a gift of faith, right? And he simply in that moment says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you. That's a gift of faith. That's nobody else got out of the boat. I was exhorting servants one time. So you guys just always stay in the boat. You never exercise any faith that you believe God wants to do anything more with you, and you never step out in faith, and your whole sum total of expression and anything is like what you do for fun. You go to Walmart on Saturday night, and that's your fun as you do the weekly shopping for your family. So you're shriveling up, right? And I said, you never do anything. And then later on to hear their little daughter pray, Lord, please keep mommy and daddy in the boat. I know they were talking about it in their children's presence. And I'm just laying this out for you. Gift of faith. Right? They're long gone, so don't think anybody like, right? Don't even worry about that. I'm not going to use your life as an example. I'll use my life as an example. But listen, gift of faith. And when the Holy Spirit says he's going to do something, he's going to do that. And I call all of you, listen to this very closely. If the Holy Spirit gives one of us a gift of faith and we test it, and that's the Lord, and this is going to happen, will you hold to it? Even if you can't see it. Okay? Even if you can't believe it. And I'm just letting you know, This is how I operate. I hold on to what I believe God says he's going to do. That's straightforward. So when I say unto you, we're going to two services after we finish up 1 Corinthians, and more people are going to be coming to church, and some of you are like, what's that all about? I'm just saying unto you, gifts of faith. Now, healings. So you have this written down here in the way that it is in 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, I believe God's doing something for us here. In our understanding is the letters written to the Corinthians, and he puts wisdom, word of knowledge together. Wisdom and understanding, knowledge and fear of the Lord. Book of Proverbs, day by day. I'll just say unto you, I believe it is God's will for me to have gladness of heart. Okay? I believe it is God's will for me to be full of joy. That all comes by the Holy Spirit through his word. I read the word, that's for me. Rejoicing in my heart. Why describe it in this way? He puts faith and healing together. You notice that? He gives gifts of faith and puts it together here in the Spirit with healing. Acts chapter 3. Give me your money. Can't you see? I can't walk. I'm poor. This guy's been by the east gate, the gate called Beautiful, for a long time. Okay, Peter and John go by that day as they go up to church to pray. Hey, I'm sorry, don't bother me now. I'm going to pray. Ever hear the irony of that? They don't say, don't bother me. They look at him and say, we don't have any money. And this is a great way for us even to approach this whole thing. We don't have money, but what we do have, I'll give it to you. And so at that place, I'm going to say unto you, two things are at work. There's gifts of faith, believing that God wants to heal that man in that context on that day, and believing, then having received that gift of healing, they give it to him. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So gifts of faith and healing working together. Now, why would God give you the gift of healing to glorify yourself? He won't, because no flesh should glory in his presence. Likewise, this is also one of the gifts that is fought against so much, the supernatural. The idea that someone would be healed, right? And someone would say, oh, God doesn't do things like that anymore. Who said that? Amen. Because you're not double-minded. The testimonies are this. Right? Diagnosis, doc says you have cancer. It's documented. Pray, lay hands on, healed, go back to the doctor. What cancer? I love it when God documents them. No, he doesn't have to document them. But I'm just going to lay this out for you. Right? We believe full on in the supernatural. Because isn't that what this is about? Healing is supernatural, contrary to the natural realm. Because the natural realm says you get cancer, you treat it with this, or else you die. Now, some people, you're like, why doesn't God heal everybody? You can ask him when you get to heaven if you want. Okay, you can ask him that. Pretty sure you won't care when you're there. Because you'll find out that those that weren't healed here, they got to go to heaven earlier. Been waiting for you. It's been great in heaven. Do you realize that you're believing family members who get to go to heaven? It's great there. We're back here saying, why didn't you heal them? Why didn't you? But I miss them. You hear us, right? And why I bring it up in this context is faith and healing work together. That man, and there's when Paul looks at a man and seeing that he had faith to be healed, then God does the healing. Gifts of faith and healing work together. So it's not like anybody can just heal everybody. If it really was true that somebody would have the gift of healing and they could heal everybody, then we wouldn't have Sanford, Essentia. We wouldn't have nursing homes anymore. Everybody would be healed. Nobody would die and get old. Wait. Now you see how quickly this would get out of control. But with gifts of faith and gifts of healing, God does give gifts of healing. I'm just going to say this to you. We are going to need this more and more because we're going to have less and less access to medical in this country. It's amazing that when I'm in Africa and I'm meeting people who need to be healed, I have a mindset. This is all they have. So you know how we operate in this country? Did you go to the doctor? What did the doctor say? Or if you're praying for somebody and you're like, this is all they have. And by faith, you're like, I'm going to pray for a healing. Now, back to this letter. Does that mean everybody gets gifts of words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, and gifts of healing? No. Do you know that if we have one person in church who has gifts of healing, we all have it? Or that person's not available. Oh, no. No. Do you realize that some of these gifts work this way? He gives gifts of healings on the spot. I didn't know I have the gift of healing. You don't. God does. Gave it to you to heal that person. See, some of these gifts you don't possess, do you? Others you do, seemingly. Like we'll talk next week on the other 4 to 5, right? We'll get tongues and interpretation, and I'll put that together as one so I can split it equally. But it's really 9 gifts that manifest the Holy Spirit. And here's my word to you. There is no distribution of money here in an equal fashion to any of us that would make an appeal to you like, I want to be a part of this. But there is a Holy Spirit, right, who has filled us and gives us gifts, and we receive those gifts and we share them with one another. And I believe everyone who comes to church here is profited by that simple, single gladness of heart that we have here towards the Holy Spirit. That Jesus is the head and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is a place that you can come and agree with the Scripture. And I'm calling upon you to agree with the Holy Spirit in the lives of one another. And when we talk about discerning of spirits, we'll talk about that. And we get to chapter 14, Lord willing, we'll talk about judging a prophecy, judging a word of wisdom, judging a word of knowledge. Is it of God? We're not without the testings and that. But I'm just telling you where this is at, because there's also gifts of teaching, gifts of giving, gifts of mercy. There's a whole bunch of other gifts, which we're going to cover later. But today I'm just talking about it. And I just, if this is true, if verse 7 is true, I ask you the question, can you see the Holy Spirit in your church? Can you hear, right, the manifest? Have you heard the gifts of the Spirit here? So if someone in here comes up to you and say in the Spirit unto you, I have this to say to you, how will you receive that? How will you receive that? Man, I have said things to people here. I'm sometimes like, oh, this is a correction. And the Holy Spirit's like, okay, if I say brace yourself, or how do we do that with you? As Christians, I love you, brother. Know that I love you. But I'm just going to say this. The Holy Spirit is here, and his gifts are in abundance and given out. And every one of you gets to decide if you want to live the Spirit-filled life. But for you to sit around and say no to the Holy Spirit, it won't work very long for you. And it's not because it won't work very long for you with me or here. It's because you're quenching the Holy Spirit. Now, the operation of the gifts, I believe, biblically instructed, in order. Right? Let everything be done in order. God's not the author of confusion. So maybe you've had experiences of, what do you mean, Spirit-filled church? I haven't seen. Okay? I haven't seen all the activity that I've seen at other churches. Good. Right? But I'll tell you what, I don't know a more spiritually active group of people than the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in here now. Amen. Okay? And so, I'm stirring you up, right? Using gifts of exhortation for you to be revived. Receive the gifts that he has given you. If you have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, if you have gifts of faith and healing, how far back do you have to go in your memory to say the last time you used one of those gifts? Okay, if you have to go back very far, I can go back to this week, I can go back to this morning, I can go back, you understand this. Okay, so let's see if there's anything else to address. Verse 11. Okay, so we're gonna take 8 and 9, so 7, 8, and 9, and then we'll get verse 10 next week. There's five gifts in verse 10. You see that? But verse 11, all these worketh that one and self-same spirit. You'll notice this phrase, same spirit, same spirit, same spirit. This is what we're detecting. Differences of gifts, different distribution, same source. Holy Spirit gave that to you. Holy Spirit said that. Holy Spirit did that. When we're together and the Holy Spirit says something to you and it came from another person, help them out and encourage them by saying, amen, that was for me. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just gave a manifestation of, he said this to me, it's for me, I believed and I received it. Because it's the Holy Spirit at work. All these worketh that one and self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. He gives these gifts. I remember one in particular, again, I would call it a word of prophecy, but it was an unusual word of prophecy in that this person would get a word, and then the dictionary word would be for just like this person, and then we had to discern, and then other gifts would help explain what that was being said to that individual. And when the person first got that gift of prophecy that way, it's like, I don't know if this is the Holy Spirit. This is a little strange for me. Getting those words and then to find out, oh, the Holy Spirit was spot on. Like things, so it was like a combination of word of knowledge and gift of prophecy, like exposing what's going on in someone's heart. And I just remind you that it's the Holy Spirit at work who is not into fairness the way we count fairness. So to some who serve in worship ministry, and they're given these gifts, and then some who serve in teaching ministry, they're given these gifts, and they're like, I just don't get a chance to do worship. I just don't get a chance to teach. Again, remember, that's not what this is about. What this is about is receiving those gifts, and are you giving them out? Are you giving them out? Now, if you wonder about my life, if I give them out, or if I keep them to myself, you can decide. I'm here to let you know, When the Holy Spirit gives me a gift, I am already planning to use that. Where do these words of wisdom, words of knowledge, where do these gifts of faith come from? From God. When do you get them? Don't think that God is more beneficial in spontaneity than he is when you're praying and waiting upon him. Lord, do you have anything for me? You know, he can give gifts of the Spirit in your time alone with him, and you can just have them ready to go. Now, you also have to be open to him, what? Doing things in spontaneous fashion. But you know what I know? Some people think that it's only that the Holy Spirit, it's only when he's spontaneous that it's the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Holy Spirit can use the gifts of the Spirit and put together an entire teaching, and the person could go up and read the notes? The Holy Spirit put everything in there, all the gifts, everything that needs to be said. And there's nothing spontaneous about that. Wasn't the Holy Spirit. Where did you get that idea? Because that's nowhere written. But what does happen is that these gifts, many times by reason of use, can be exercised. And there's times like when these gifts are known in the body to profit one another. And again, I like that word of knowledge, because the Holy Spirit can be tipping you off who has a word for everybody. Because that's an encouragement. Say, you need to say, the Holy Spirit sees that you have something to say. Now say it to all of us. Now, there are certain Bible teachers, for lack of a better term, who say that the gifts have ceased. I feel so sorry for them. To quench the Holy Spirit in that way, to say we don't need the Holy Spirit in this church. Here's my understanding of when you kick the Holy Spirit out as the one who provides the wisdom, knowledge, and the Holy Spirit that does all these things, you will fill it up with man's wisdom and man's ways. Because we really need God in church. There's not a single one of us who could say, I don't need to hear from God. I got it all figured out. Who has it all figured out? Or to comfort when you're hurting. Or I just think of how many times a word of prophecy to comfort when you're suffering loss. And then a word of comfort comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses a verse you know, and then he speaks to you only over things that you've only ever talked to him in your prayer closet. And then somebody else has that verse and they start ministering his comfort of his love to you. That's this church with the Holy Spirit. So, thank you, Lord. Thanks for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thanks for giving us gifts. Lord, I ask that you would look upon us today as your Holy Spirit knows each and every one of us. You know the gifts you have given us already, but you also know the gifts that it says severally, you give severally as you will. I ask for the will now of the Holy Spirit to give the gifts to each and every member of this body that, Lord, fits great together. Intricately placed and put together, ready, even room for more members. And then gifts and callings that work together, I ask that you would give those gifts today, that this body might function for your glory and have gain and profit, and that this revival would come to each and every one of us, and then this revival would go out from us, and that gifts of the Spirit may be shared in abundance, and that many are saved, and the gates are opened for salvation to come, and that you would bring revival to our city, to our state. Lord, we trust that each and every member of the body has been placed to function in this spiritual body the way you've given it to us, and that you give gifts of the Holy Spirit, that where that body part is placed with the other members, those gifts are what each and every one of us need. And we trust the Holy Spirit to have life in this body. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.